Jenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. The following is a paid program, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent the opinions of the management of this station or Hamel Broadcasting. And good morning, everyone, and welcome to Happy Hour. It is Jonna Spilbor. It is Carol Pesci. It is some fella, the one talking right now, and we are back with another show. And we have a return guest today, another person who is wearing, and I don't want to say like gold jacket or something like that. We'll say pink jacket for anybody who's been back, you know, 3-4 times. So yes, Shari Lead is who our guest is going to be today, and she has definitely earned a pink jacket.
Yeah, she's awesome. She is a reinvention coach. She's a prolific author. She's written, I think this is her fourth book. She's been on the show to talk to us about her book, Ask Yourself This, Make Your Mess Your Message, The 50-50 Friendship Flow. She's really all about building relationships, and she has just released her fourth book called Table for 51, Lessons Learned from Sharing Meals Across America. So she traveled to all 50 states and had lunch or dinner with women, some she'd never met, some were friends, some were acquaintances. And the whole objective for her, she's got a really fascinating story. I'll let her tell it. But she wanted to challenge her father's fears of her not being welcome because her face is Asian, and to break down those stereotypes and not be afraid. And she's got 50 fascinating stories of women that she met. And when we come back from the break, we will be talking with Shari Lead, and I'll let her tell you her story. It's really an inner journey as well as an outer journey.
Like an innie versus an outie belly button. I like it.
Oh, that's exactly. What a great analogy.
That's exactly perfect. What Carol was going for.
Profound. Profound, yes.
Well, no, I like the idea. The idea, I find it to be very unique. I mean, for a guy who likes to write myself, that is just a fantastic idea, and something fresh, something different. So
it is fresh. It is a great idea, and I can't imagine you doing that much peopling in a year.
No.
Or traveling.
No, my book would be like me and that dude from Walmart.
Who happened to be in line in front of me.
That's right. Last Thursday.
Yeah.
That would be my book. Yeah.
Over and out.
Yeah. That's a good book.
It'll be coming out on thumbnail print.
You can listen to the whole thing in about 45 seconds. I love it.
Exactly. There you go. The perfect audiobook for you, Jonna.
I love. And as good as a book as that would be, I want to talk today about a movie that apparently was supposed to be, I don't know how critically acclaimed it was, but you guys know what the Oscars or whatever were last weekend, right?
Or whatever.
Yeah, yes, yeah,
the
yeah.
Oscars.
Yeah, those things. Yeah, those awards. Yes.
Anora, I did not watch.
Anora won Best Film and also Best Actress and Best Director.
Who won?
Okay. Frankenberry, I saw that Flow was Best Animated. You told us to watch that.
You know, and I said to myself last night, I was like, oh, you know what? I totally forgot to check the list of winners because I wanted to see if Flow had indeed won as opposed to, say, Wild Robot, which was deserving itself, but I liked Flow better. But that's fantastic. Oh, I'm actually, thank you so much for telling me that, because that is absolutely beautiful, mesmerizing film. It really is. For folks,
and you said
like,
there's no dialogue, right? And it's still intriguing.
It's just the sounds of the animals.
Oh my gosh,
the sounds that they make. But it is absolutely beautiful.
I'll
check it out.
So who did win? Because I didn't pay any. I never pay any attention to the award ceremonies anymore.
Anora.
Oh, I don't even know.
I had not heard of, quite honestly, before I heard some hubbub.
But I did hear that Demi Moore, or Demi, however you're supposed to pronounce it, I thought she was nominated, I guess, for Best Actress.
She was, but the woman who starred in Anora, she is the one who won Best Actress.
So, okay. And was Demi Moore, was she nominated for her role in the movie entitled Substance, or was it a different movie?
No, it was Substance.
Okay. So in the spirit of, who was it? Siskel and Ebert, right? They were the movie critics.
Yes, the famous ones, yes.
Yes. I am going to channel both of them. I'm going to channel them and give and discuss the movie review that I would give of the movie Substance.
Okay.
And all right.
Let me just begin with pointing both of my thumbs toward hell. Because I could not have been more. It's not. All right. Look, I love being entertained. I think we all love being entertained, right? We all write. We like to read other people's writings. We watch movies. We do this show. We appreciate a good entertainment.
True.
Of course.
And I probably tuned into this movie. And I'll admit, I don't watch movies as much anymore as I get into, like, you know, the series, you know, like White Lotus and things like that. But because Demi had been nominated for this movie, and she looks amazing, by the way, I said, I'll give it a go. And if there was a pill where you could erase something that you saw for real, I would take it.
Oh my gosh.
I would take it.
That bad?
Well, that's actually, Jonna, I think there are plenty of pills out there that'll do that. it just, I mean, it might affect your work.
Oh yeah.
A bottle of tequila.
Yeah, yeah.
Drive.
I mean, that's what the entire 80s was.
Oh, well, remember, I wasn't born yet, so.
Oh, correct.
Right. Get your facts straight, Frankenberry.
I know. Dating myself.
Okay, so I got to say, and here's the other weird thing. So I want to talk about this movie because to me, it was so bad on every single level. Yet, you guys, I watched it almost to the end. I have not seen the exact, no, I'm sorry. I did see the exact end. I missed maybe about 15 or 20 minutes preceding the exact end and all of the movie before that little chunk of time where I think I fell asleep or willed myself to become unconscious because I just couldn't stand it anymore.
Oh my God.
I know. I could have flipped the channel at any time. I guess I was just trying to see if it was going to get better or if it could possibly be any worse. Do you guys know anything about, I'm not going to give it away, by the way.
I know nothing about it and I will not watch it.
It was what? An extreme take on what? Body image, correct?
A very extreme take on, I think, and a sexist take on women getting older, on body image, on perhaps, you know, an industry near and dear to my heart, Botox, fame, fortune, and kind of like a futuristic sci-fi. It was right. Very sci-fi.
And a bit of a horror film as well, correct?
Yes. And I, you know, so it had nothing that was going to make me like it, but I watched it anyway. And it really is, even if you're into the kind of gross, so there's sci-fi that's sci-fi, and then there's sci-fi that's just gross. This movie was literally disgusting. If you want to be grossed out, and who does? Like, does anybody sit down and go,
no.
I love that genre. I love the gross out genre, which is a genre, right? All those kind of like Jason movies, they can be kind of gross. But this was next level gross. Do you want to know what the plot? Do you think anybody wants to know the plot? If you don't want to know the plot and you're listening right now, go hum a tune for a minute. I'll tell you the plot.
You know, I think in the long run, you pretty much explained your point, plot or not, and we've gotten a kind of idea of the plot.
I wouldn't mind the plot.
All right. The plot starts with the name of the film, and the name of the film is called The Substance. Now, you might be saying to yourself, well, what's the substance? The substance could be anything. The substance could be Botox. The substance could be whatever. The substance in this movie is, so the plot is Demi is playing a very beautiful, albeit over 50 kind of television star. She was like a star in the fitness genre. And she has a boss who is equally disgusting, who's played by Dennis Quaid. And they really make Dennis Quaid look like a sexist buffoon. And they make Demi very sympathetic. And in the course of the plot, she comes across like some, I forget, it must have been some like weird advertisement that advertised, like kind of like me when I'm scrolling through Facebook. I get bombarded with these weird tinctures and vitamins and supplements, and I buy them all. I would have stopped at this one. So she comes across this thing, and it basically promises you've got to follow these rules, and you have to like inject yourself with this weird stuff, and then something horrific is going to happen, and you become this better version of you, a better, younger, healthier, more gorgeous, more vibrant version of you. But every week you have to go back to the old you without exception. So for a week you get to be, I'm gorgeous, I'm perfect, I'm young again, I'm vibrant. And then 7 days later, you have to go back to the old you, and you have to keep switching off like that. And the way you get to switch off is that the old you, who in this case is laying naked on a bathroom floor for most of the movie, you have to take a needle, plunge it into the back of the old you, squeeze out, quote, a substance, and then inject that substance into the new you. And you have to keep switching back and forth. That's how this works. And as you can imagine, so many disgustingly physically gross things happen over the course. But the real underpinning of the movie is that by doing that, by wanting to be younger, by wanting to be better, by wanting to be your old self, like who doesn't? You are killing your current self, and not only killing your current self, turning you into a person that you yourself wouldn't recognize. Ugly, decrepit, disgusting, a shell of your old self. And I think the message is just horrible for those of us who intend to be very well preserved long into the future.
This movie was your worst nightmare.
My worst nightmare.
Yes. And so, you know, I guess what? A satire and a little bit of a morality tale. But yes, that would be your worst nightmare there, Spielberg.
And it's her acting?
So that's the interesting part. Like, she literally, Demi plays a monster, for lack of a better word, for the bulk of the movie. The movie starts off with her just, you know, being her, and that's fine. And Dennis Quaid actually did a really good acting job because he plays a disgusting, the cinematography with him. Like, for example, there's some scenes where he's eating shrimp over a lunch, where he's explaining to Demi that she's a has-been and she's too old to continue her TV journey, etc. And
worst nightmare.
I saw that in a clip for the film. Yeah.
And they have him like chewing with his mouth open and making these slurping sounds.
Oh my God, this is totally a nightmare for you on every level.
It's almost like the producers were like, let's listen to some past Happy Hour shows. Let's find out what the buttons really are. And then let's write a movie about it.
And so a movie was written about you, and Demi Moore played you. That's a compliment.
Yeah.
I can see why this is so upsetting for you there, Spielberg.
I can too, on many levels.
Because would you have chosen Demi Moore to have played you? Is that why you're so upset? Did you have somebody else in mind?
Oh, that's a good point. I am very complimented that these big time movie producers who obviously honed in on my life to make this movie. I'm happy that they chose Demi. Who else would I? You know who I would have preferred? I would have preferred Sandra Bullock, to be honest.
Yeah,
she's a little bit younger than Demi. Although I did recently, before I watched this movie, I had to. I had to subscribe to this. This wasn't played on Max, but separately. I had to subscribe to Max because I lost it off my TV. So I had to resubscribe. And they asked me what avatar I wanted. And I picked Sarah Jessica Parker.
What about, say, like my first thought would be Nicole Kidman?
Oh, God, no.
No, no, not no, Nicole Kidman.
No.
Okay, no, just checking, just an idea.
So wait a minute. Okay, but since we're on the subject, who would you want to play you Frankenberry, in any movie, just doesn't matter what the plot of the movie is. The role of Frankenberry is to be played by dot, dot, dot.
Well, first of all, it would be a very, very short and a very, very dull film. But if I can't play me myself, screw it. I'm not giving you permission to do the film.
No, I think you would. I know who I would get to play you. So tell me who you would get to.
I genuinely have no idea. And it's never even a thought that's ever popped into my head.
All right. You want my thought on who should play you?
Yeah, sure.
Can't wait.
Tom Hanks.
No, thanks.
Tom Hanks?
Yes, Tom Hanks.
No. Nope.
You don't think so? The quirky, the intelligent?
No. Look, nope. if you're going to go that route, go with Tim Robbins or something. But no, I don't see Tom Hanks. No.
You don't see Tom Hanks. All right. Let me chew on it. Curly, who would play Carol Pesci?
I like the Sandra Bullock thing, too. We'll have to rock, paper, scissors that.
Oh, I could see that. You know, you get out of bubble world and suddenly you're on a bus, you know, that you can't stop. You know, I mean, I could see Dennis Hopper's right there behind. You know, he's directing things and you're losing your mind. You know, Ginger's bouncing around on a bus seat in the back. You know, but she's actually enjoying herself. So she's
Carol has to take the wheel, and then the camera pans out, and the bus isn't a bus; it's a Range Rover, like a big, long, high end Range Rover.
Yeah,
with pink wheels. Oh, yeah, that wouldn't be so bad. Yeah, that wouldn't be so bad. All right, yeah. So anyway, I highly do not recommend anybody tune in to the movie Substance. And I don't care who gets mad at me for saying that. I don't care. It was not a good
movie. Did you watch it with your much younger paramour?
Yeah, we both hated it.
Okay.
We both. And for a change, he fell asleep during the movie faster than I did.
Wow.
Because normally, if we're going to watch a movie at night, you know, I love watching movies in bed because it's all comfy, cozy, and I love that. And normally when we watch a movie like that, the next morning we'll wake up and he'll go, did you enjoy the opening credits of blah, blah, blah?
Right. Yeah, that's me.
Be like, yeah, I enjoyed the opening credits very much. But it's just a comfy way. Like, who goes to the movies anymore? Nobody. Why would you? Why would you?
I couldn't tell you the last time I went to a theater. I mean, you all have TVs the size of movie theaters in our own homes now.
Right. You make your own popcorn. It's clean. You can sip whatever you want to sip. I think the movie theaters are pretty much probably gone the way of the VCR. Really?
Yeah. I mean, the last time I went to the movie theaters, they asked me to leave. And I said, why? And they said, well, sir, sorry, but you cannot watch this film here in the theater with a cat on your lap. You're going to have to go. So I said, all right, well, you know what? I'll do that at home instead. And I stuck my tongue out at them and I made a raspberry sound.
You just invented a reason why people should go to the movies. Cat, like they have cat cafes, cat movie cafes.
I would, you know, tell you the truth, they probably have something like that already in Japan.
Oh, maybe. Maybe they do.
Yeah.
But that would be, because that would be a reason. Like, there's just no reason to go to a movie if you go to a movie theater if you own a TV. And think about this. Even the popcorn, like sometimes when you get stuff out, for some reason, it can taste better than when you get
But
do you want to pay $20 for a bucket of popcorn with fake? Now I don't even want to do any fake anything. No fake butter, no fake anything. Anything fake is going to be injected into my skin, not put in my mouth.
Yeah, no, last time I went to an actual film, I went to see Guardians of the Galaxy 3 because I love those films. And yeah. I'm like, you know what, I'm going to go to the movies. And I went by myself and I went and I got the popcorn and I got the fountain drink because, like you said, there are times where just getting something out just tastes better. Fountain soda always tastes better to me than in a can. That was close to like, you know, $40. I mean, it was like crazy, you know, and I got some, you know, a little box of candy for when I was done with the popcorn. I was like, wow, holy crap. There's a reason I don't go to this. I don't go out to the movies.
So I think this might have been the last time we went to a movie theater. It was quite a while ago. We went with two other couples. We all met at our house and then drove into Fishkill. We were driving a BMW at the time. The other one of our friends was a doctor. They had a Lexus. And then our other friends, it was a high-end car. I can't remember what they were driving. And we stuffed our pocketbooks with homemade popcorn. And I made batches of cosmopolitans and put them in water bottles and brought straws.
Nice.
And the irony was, like, look at the cars we're driving.
Yes, exactly.
But we didn't want to spend the extra $12 for movie theater popcorn.
You can't get a Cosmo. Usually you can't get a Cosmo in a movie theater. I don't blame you for that.
No, yeah. Yeah, no, that was a win.
And that's, you know, they started doing that in New York City. A couple times we did go to theaters where you can actually either bring drinks and food in, or you can sort of order it in your seat. But here's the other reason why I shy away from the movie theater. For some reason, and maybe it's because they're so dark, I just feel like I am sitting in a germ infested, like.
I knew you were going to go this way.
And it's so gross to me.
Petri dish.
They don't clean up the popcorn and the crap. How do they? They don't do it in between movies. You don't have time to do it in between movies. Like, if you want me to go to a movie theater, you would have
to wear a hazmat suit.
Or every row would have to have its own, like, luminol blue light so you could see exactly where all the avoid it.
So wait a minute, John. The idea of going to a movie theater where I could sit there and have food brought to me and drinks, I kind of like that, but I've never done it. But the only thing I think about is, like, do the waitresses disrupt you serving you and other people? Have you done that?
No, they don't disrupt you. I think you have a limited time.
Like,
you
okay.
Yeah, like, they don't walk in between the aisles during the movie or anything like that. Yeah. So that's why I think they're just dead. I wouldn't want to be an owner of a movie theater right now. They're going to have to repurpose them into something. I don't know what.
I don't know. Maybe a restaurant that has 51 tables.
No.
Whoa, that was the softest ball. It was like slow motion. Do, 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 do.
Whoa, I was struggling.
Yeah, struggle. You never struggle with the Segus.
Yeah, but table for 51? Okay. Anyway, when we come back with the break, we will be talking with Sherry Lead. She is the author of multiple books. She's a reinvention coach, and she has just written her fourth book called Table for 51, which follows her travels through all 50 states, where she met with 50 different women to get to know them better, break down barriers. And she's got a pretty fascinating story that when we come back, we will be talking with Sherry.
Okay, that's what we've got on the way. Return guest Sherry Lead. She is coming up with Jonna Spilborg, Carol Pesci, and this fellow right here. We'll be right back.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back to Happy Hour. Here it's Jonna Spilborg. It is Carol Pesci. It is this fella. And it is a return guest. And we have decided, by the way, Sherry, for guests that have been on the show, say, two or three times, they do get a special jacket. It's a special pink jacket. So Sherry is she is one of the folks that gets a pink jacket, because I think this is trip number 3 or 4 for her to our show.
Or at least.
Yes,
that's
at least.
Awesome. That reminds me of Greece. I don't know if your listeners are old enough to know the pink ladies, but that reminds me of Greece, the pink jackets.
Gotcha.
Well, I will admit, I know what you're talking about. I doubt Jonna has any idea what you're talking about.
No clue.
Okay, so we have with us today Sherry Lead, as I mentioned in the first segment. She is a friend of ours, a friend of the show, prolific author of 50-50 Friendship Flow, Make Your Mess Your Message, Ask Yourself This, and her most recent book, Table for 51, Lessons Learned from Sharing Meals Across America. She's also a reinvention coach. She's a beautiful human being. She's wise. She's kind. She's kind of everything I want to be. Anyway, so we have her here with us to talk about her latest book, Table for 51. Sherry, welcome back to Happy Hour.
Thank you. This book is a book from the heart. It's so great to be here to talk about this.
Oh, I hear you, but I think everything you do comes from the heart. You just really have a beautiful way about you. Where I would love to start, Sherry, is why you wanted to write this book. And I would love with the back story of your origin, the origin of your life, and how that led you to want to take on a project like this.
Yeah,
you traveled to 50 states and met with 50 different women.
Yes, in an eight-month period, and I had never traveled the U.S. before. So I had this idea in 2022 that I wanted to travel the U.S. I was going to do most of this travel by myself. So I thought, well, I'd better get on it. And I want to make places interesting. And what makes places interesting are the people. So I came up with this idea. But part of the reason why I had never traveled the U.S. is because my parents were, I'm adopted from Korea, and I'll say a little bit about that in a minute. But my parents were, who adopted me, interned during World War II. There's a generation between us, so they're the same age as my friend's grandparents. And they were both born in the Seattle area of Washington State. But because they are Japanese American during World War II, they were interns. So I grew up with the belief that I would be welcome across the U.S. I was born in Korea, so I'm Asian American. And therefore, I never left the West Coast growing up, and I wanted to rewrite that belief and believe that I'm welcome everywhere. One, two, I, you know, this was 2022 when I came up with this idea, and you know, things are still the same. You know, we were coming out of the pandemic, and so we had gotten into our physical bubbles for safety, but we've also gotten into our emotional and mental bubbles as well. And I wanted to see if I could sit across the table from someone I didn't know, who's, you know, different, completely different background than me, look different than me, and just simply have a great conversation and you know, plant the roots of friendship over a shared meal. So that's the start of it. And we could talk about what this has become and why this has become the Flip the Box movement as this journey went on.
Sherry, how logistically, like, how did you find a different woman in every state? What was that process? And you didn't know some of them, right? Some of them you did, some you did not.
Yeah, probably a lot of the your single male listeners want to know this. No, so I got, you know, I had to find the women I was meeting with first, and most of them were strangers. And the ones I did know, I had lost contact with decades ago. So by, you know, what I knew about them, they were basically strangers at this point. And I was able to receive 21 on my own. And there were people like my web designer. She's in Indiana. Never met her before.
Oh,
reached
wow.
out to her. Or like, you know, if in New York, I could have reached out to you. We've never met before. We've talked, but never met. And so it was people that I had some contact with, but never met in person for the first 21. Then I reached out on social media saying, these are my states. And people sent me their aunts, their cousins, their former college roommates. And then I had 13 states left with absolutely no contacts and no warm contacts, like West Virginia. And I just really reached, I looked at, I thought, well, if they're women business owners, then they probably are rooted, less chance of them standing me up. And I just started to reach out, and I would look at their social media to make sure they were active. And I reached out that way and sent them all of my information, tried to explain I'm not crazy for flying out from Seattle to meet with them just for a meal. And I did not get stood up once.
Well, that was my next question.
That's cool.
Yeah, because I imagine get on a plane, flying, getting there, and then they, that's awesome, yeah. Sherry. Every single one showed up.
Yeah, and some of them changed, though. I mean, some of them dropped off before I, because this was, about a year planning process. So we did lose some of them. And I say we because I hired a virtual assistant to help me contact everyone and stay in touch. But in fact, the first person I lost, but like 3 weeks before getting to her, and the last person as well. But by the time I got to the end, when somebody fell off, you know, our radar about a month before, and we knew we had to look for someone else, I was pretty calm about it because I knew that, hey, I ended up meeting the right person at the right time. The first time I was a little nervous that there was a bad start, but the woman I ended up meeting for that first trip in Albuquerque, New Mexico, she and I are good friends now. And
wow.
Yeah, I've been back and I plan to go back again. So just trust the universe brings the right people into your life at the right time.
Did you notice any deep common themes, or what were some of your takeaways when you reflect on this process of meeting people face to face, women face to face that you hadn't met?
Yeah. So, you know, these are women from the ages of 20s to 60s, different races, economic levels, education levels, political beliefs, religious beliefs. And these were organic conversations like we have, you know, like we're having right now. There wasn't a set of questions that I had. But one thing I did notice and I wasn't planning. And I noticed this, and I realized this as I was writing the book. So 2022 idea, 2023 travel, 2024 wrote the book, came out this year. So as I was writing the book in 2024, I realized I kept on asking the question, does this feel like home? To the women, you know, when especially if they told me they relocate to the area of their state or relocate from another state or moved around a lot in their life, or even if they had been born and raised there, I'd ask, does this feel like home? What does home mean to you? And I realized at that point, as I was writing, much of this journey was that all my life I had been looking for home, and I didn't necessarily realize that. So back to my adoption, I was born in South Korea, Seoul, South Korea, or that area. And I learned when I was a teenager that I had been found abandoned in a cardboard box in a parking lot. I was orphaned in a parking lot with no identifying information. So I don't even know my birth date.
Wow.
And so I think that this journey actually was and maybe in part I'm still looking, but I think this is me looking for a place that feels like home and trying to really understand what home feels like. So that was a common question that I had for the women as I traveled the U.S. And that was the one thing that carried through.
I have a question.
Look at Chana's raising her hand.
I have two. First of all, with what you just said about how your life began, that just gave me chills. And it made me, when you were asking these women the question, you know, does this feel like home? What is home? I instantly got a message that home is what you create it to be. So whether you're born in a box, found in a box, you don't know your birthday, you might have a few homes, Sherry, because you create that. And it's so profound that I'm actually literally still tingling. But I'm going to set that aside for a minute because I have something that I'm dying to know, which is completely superficial and stupid.
And that is, and it wouldn't be a show without Jonna doing something like that.
Yes.
Right. So I'm imagining, so just like you had to meet, didn't have to, you wanted to meet all these people and you flew to meet all these people and have these awesome conversations and deep questions. And I have to imagine it was kind of like maybe a little bit like speed dating, which I've done back in the day. And so my question is, did you actually walk away and not like some of the, you don't got to say what stage, you don't got to say what people, did you walk away going, oh God, I would never, oh, that person.
You know, no, but there were definitely women that, and as part of it was what the way I was going into I was going into these conversations to understand and not to respond. So it was partly the way I was going into these conversations that I didn't leave that way. But I definitely had women where I sat down, I was like, oh man. And I think this would be like if I sat down with you and Carol, I'd be like, oh man, I could just hang out with them all the time. You know, let's go on a girl trip. I mean, immediately felt like sisters, like we had gone to college together, where others felt a little more
guarded.
Formal. Yeah, guarded, more formal. And I started to actually track this because I thought, okay, what is it that makes some people feel like instant friends? Like, what am I attracted to in a female friend? You know, do I just like really tall blondes? or is it the education level? Or is it the city environment? You know, what is it? So I actually started tracking it for my own benefit. And what it came down to is I tend to be a very open person. Obviously I share. Some people might say I overshare, but when somebody also was the same way, I found that, you know, that connection, that ability to just laugh at ourselves was really the key.
Like looking in a mirror.
Yeah. And I took this into my dating world too. After this project, when I found that I was going to be single and I started dating, I decided, let me just go on a whole bunch of first dates, one after another, so I could figure out what I like.
That's a great approach. Mm-hmm. Although there is nothing worse. I know this is a little sidebar. There is nothing worse than being on a first date and knowing in the first 5 minutes
what's my out
date. That's the worst.
Well, maybe that'll be your next book, Sherry.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Yeah. Oh, 55-minute first dates. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
And some won.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? Oh, right. So, Sherry.
Strategies, how you got out of first dates. Like, I'll be right back. I'm just going to the bathroom. And then you never come back.
Yeah, I know. Jeez. Yeah, these were easier. These were easier than that.
How many of the women are you still, you said a few you really connected with. Are there a handful or more that you're maintaining contact with?
I try to maintain contact with all of them. And I host Zoom calls. And I've never counted the numbers I'm actually regularly in contact with. But the book launch was in New York in mid-February. And about 23 of them from across the U.S. made it to the book launch.
That's amazing.
Oh, it was huge because New York's not cheap, and many of the women had not been to New York before. Some had small kids. You know, some of them, this was going to be the only trip they made the whole year because it is not cheap. And everyone at the party was wearing black. I had the women from the 50 States Project wear red. And so they were able all to recognize one another right away. And it was the most beautiful thing because these women who have, you know, from the outside, nothing in common other than this project, were hugging like they were best friends. And they were explaining, wow, what state are you from? It was a great icebreaker and the energy was so good. And it was just really beautiful to see that level of energy and connection in this group where nothing mattered other than being connected through shared meals across the U.S.
An amazing example you've set. That's incredible. Yeah. And what a cool idea, too, that they can identify themselves easily at the party by wearing another color so they can connect that way as well.
Yes, and it looked good in pictures.
And Today Show, by the way, Sherry. I caught your clip when you were before the book came out and you were in the process of going to all 50 states and you did a beautiful job.
Thank you. Yes, the reception has been so wonderful and this just keeps growing. When I got back home, I thought, I can't stop this. And so I've started at home I start by opening. So everything I do, I say it's easier to make ugly pretty than perfect prettier. So I start, if I get an idea, I start and it starts ugly. And this is not something that starts ugly, but starts simply. So I decide to open up my home. Every month, I'm inviting two people that I know at some level, but don't know each other. Three people that don't know each other for a simple potluck at my house. And I've created a Facebook group called Flip the Box. And this is simply to encourage people to ask someone out to either coffee or a meal or something like that, because we've lost the art of sharing food with one another, which I think we need to show the next generation how to connect. And we've done a really good job of showing them how to disconnect. We don't need to show them how to connect. Wow. And the idea of sharing food has been something since the dawn of time that we've done as humans. We've shared food with one another, which has always meant safety, survival, and belonging. So this movement, Flip the Box, is called Flip the Box because I realized that this box that I had been found in as a baby, I symbolically flipped it in this project and made it a table where connection was found, trust was built, and belonging was created. So that's why this movement is called Flip the Box.
You are amazing, and I love that for a title for your next book.
Oh, it might be coming.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. You know, flip the box and everything, right? It's all about connection, and we've become so disconnected, and AI and virtual workspaces and all that, we still need two things. We still need human connection and food. That's never going to change.
And aren't there studies that show like how much healthier we are, that we need that human connection? And you're talking to like Frankenberry and me, who almost never leave the house, but
but Carol, seriously. Remember, you're social at least.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pumpkin.
Yeah, there's a study that says that it can, like, being isolated with loneliness, I forgot exactly the words, but I do remember that said it increases your chances of death by the same percentage as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. And so we need this, the human connection, you know, and there's like when we sit down across the table, our, you know, oxytocin's released, our bonding hormone, dopamine, serotonin is, you know, released. Everyone's happy when they eat, right? I mean, it lets down our guard when we're sharing food with someone else. And it's something that's been done over time. It's nothing new. We just have forgotten how to do it. And we're not doing a good job teaching the next generation how to do it.
Well, you are. When you say we're not, but you are. Sherry, before we wrap up, I do want to make sure people know how to find you. Talk to us a little bit about what you do as a reinvention coach.
Yeah. So as a reinvention coach, I'm reinventing that to a connection coach because I'm actually going around and I've become a professional speaker and I'm speaking about connection, connection for yourself in your workplace and in your community. And it's the same thing basically, but I help people, clients, and it's changed. I'm working more with businesses now, but I help them to find connection in their life so that they're no longer living a checklist life, but they're living a life that feels authentic and in flow. And that whenever your life feels good, there's studies that show it flows into your workspace and your careers. And your career, you feel like you're in flow, you're able to see opportunity, and there's greater employment retention and all of this stuff. So it's connection coach, and flip the box in your life, your business, and in your community.
Sherry, we love you so much, and we appreciate that you came back to see us again, I think at least for the fourth time this time. if someone wants to learn more about you or purchase your books or hire you, where do they go? How do they find you?
Well, the easiest, of course, is Amazon or Barnes & Noble for Table for 51, and you have to put in my name, Sherry Leed, Shari. LEID, otherwise you will get a search with 51 inch tables. So you have to put in my name if you do that on Amazon. And my business title, it's very long. It's An Imperfectly Perfect Life. An Imperfectly Perfect Life. But you can just look up Sherry Leed and you know, everything will pop up. Good things, I hope, but things will pop up.
Guys, before we go, I have to share this because I'm going to look it up. It's got to be symbolic. So we're recording the show. I'm actually at home because I have to leave for the city. And as we were wrapping up, six golden eagles just landed on the ice on the river in front of my face. I have never seen six. I've never seen all just golden eagles, and they just landed. That has got to be fine. Weird times.
Yeah, that gave me the shimmers. When you first started saying symbol, you start going six. I was like, where are we going with this?
You know, Sherry, I got to tell you, I was kind of in that same boat too.
It's like Beetlejuice. Jonna, don't say that number one more time.
Wait, guys, and here comes a seventh.
The lucky number.
You guys, it's eight. Holy moly, this is insane.
Hey, they each want to come after one of your cats.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jonna, go make sure you've got all the cats accounted for, please.
We would need a lot more than eight, but eight is a very symbolic and abundant sign. Sherry Lee, this is all because of you. I am loving this right now.
Oh, my gosh. See, this is magical.
Sherry, congratulations again on your latest book, Table for 51. Thank you for all you do to inspire the rest of us and for taking the time to talk with us today.
Yes.
Always a pleasure. Looking forward to talking to you again, hopefully with the book, Definitely. Flip the Box.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Thank you very much for coming back there, Sherry. And I got to tell you also that your book started, your adventure started in Albuquerque. When I was a kid, I always wanted to visit Albuquerque because that's where Bugs Bunny always seemed to be going to and coming from. So thank you very much. I know that means absolutely nothing. Anyway, Sherry, thank you so much for joining us. For Jonna Spilborg, Carol Pesci, I am that guy. And we'll be back. Segment number three is on the way.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's happy hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's happy hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back once again here to happy hour. Jonna Spilborg and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frankenberry.
So it was nice to have Sherry Lee back, and I really enjoy what she did, and I found it a very unique take on the book, you know, to visit 50 different states and sit down with 50 different women and have conversations with them, and just what a fantastic idea.
It is, and what an investment of her time and energy, and she really is so much about relationships, and when you hear her backstory of how her life began, you can understand her search to really strengthen those, build and strengthen those relationships. And she's just a really cool person, beautiful person. I really like her.
The concept is just amazing. And you know what? This isn't like what she's accomplished in doing this, if you really think about it, is next level. I mean, you know, I mean, she just, it's totally next level. This was an idea that I think would be hard to make happen, and she made it happen, meeting all these people and doing it, and then putting it on paper. Just fantastic. We do love her.
And she's gotten some nice press over it, too. I mean, before the book came out, she got on the Today Show. Like, it's just a fascinating journey, story.
Yeah. And one thing that I love a lot about her, there are many things I love a lot, but she quit being a lawyer.
I know you love that about her.
I love that we've had a few guests that have quit being a lawyer. And I'm like, oh, you know, I'm like the person like the with the, her nose pressed up against the glass. And I can't. Like, oh,
how'd you do it?
But no, don't get me wrong. I love being a lawyer, but I also love that creative side that people get to tap into even when they are lawyers or were lawyers. And that's what I envy most about.
Yeah, it takes a lot of courage when somebody does a really changes direction. I think that's probably why she's also a reinvention coach. The people who want guidance on doing the same.
Yeah, because it's scary, right?
Yep.
Scary doing anything a little different. And she did things a lot different.
Yep.
Well, good. All right. Well,
okay.
Well,
that's
again,
a wrap.
Yep. Sherry Lee, thank you so much for joining us again and explaining some of your fantastic idea to our audience. And for Jonas Spilborn and Carol Pesci, I am this guy, Frankenberry. And we'll be back again next week, and we will talk to you then. Until then, be good.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonas Spilborn and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104online.com.